Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
Dialogue between Christians and Hindus was the focus of a meeting which took place in the Italian city of Florence this past month. Among the Christians attending was Roberto Catalano of the Focolari Catholic Lay Movement, who's among those engaged in ongoing dialogue with Hindus in India itself, where he's been living together with others from this movement since 1980. A dialogue, he claims, between two faiths that have been interacting for centuries.
Hinduism and Christianity are not dialoguing only recently. It is an interaction which is going on for centuries.
But for Catholics in particular, Roberto Catalano goes on to say, greater attention was paid to this dialogue at the time of the Second Vatican Council, first under the pontificate of John XXIII and then Paul VI.
For us Christians, especially Catholics, after the Second Vatican Council, there had been an opening up of a new dimension. The respect for the diversity of the other religions has grown immensely, and this has favored also a mutual dimension in dialogue, which previously was perceived sometimes more as a threat rather than a dialogue approach. I must say that we as a Focolare, we are not the only Christian organization committed in dialogue in India. The church in India is very much committed at the level of dialogue. Our experience of dialogue is a dialogue of life, which started with the Shanti Ashram within the folds of the World Conference for Religions and Peace, a constructive dialogue that developed in the last 6 years through roundtables between the Sarvodaya movement and the Focolare movement on different religious aspects, like the idea of God, the will of God, the commandment of love, the golden rule, but also, let's say, more secular topics like politics, economics, ecology, education, and also through social actions, common enterprises in social upliftment on the territory around Coimbatore, in artistic expressions, and also in exchange of youth between the metropolitan areas, Bombay and Bangalore, and the rural areas of Tamil Nadu. And this has created a great integration among these youth. They are small groups so far, but a very promising experiment because it creates a very constructive integration at the human, national, religious, and social level. So let's say we can say that these years have been a lab, a testing phase, and a launching pad now for new enterprises, new programs, and new possibilities to open up more and more in dialogue with each other.
Clearly, Roberto Catalano feels there are further grounds for breathing new life into this dialogue between the two faiths. But how does the Hindu representative attending this meeting view this dialogue?
One great expression of interfaith cooperation is the ability to talk to one another. Of course, conversations happen anyway, but if these conversations are conscious efforts, like what we say in the form of dialogue, I think there is also a greater commitment to understand one another.
She's Vinu Aram, daughter of the founder and director of the Gandhian-inspired Shanti Ashram, which has been closely working with the Focolare movement ever since 2001, when this ashram awarded the founder of the Focolare movement, Chiara Lubich, the prize Defender of Peace. It was precisely this ashram which Vinu Aram represented at this recent meeting in Florence, together with 20 or so other Hindu academics. Naturally, the Gandhian inspiration was reflected on this occasion in the theme of the meeting. Journeying towards unity of humanity, Christian and Gandhian proposals.
And from the Gandhian movement, we've always been open to these platforms of dialogue so that we not only understand one another better, but I think that we have to go a step further, is to build on this understanding action that will be positive and constructive for our societies. In that way, our interaction with Christian family, particularly the Focolare movement, has a great relevance because I think we share one thing in common, and that is we look at our spiritual motivations as launching pads for our social action. And with this commonality, we have begun dialogue starting from our leaders, but I think it has also become a dialogue of life and dialogue of people, young people, academicians, artists, workers, each bringing with them their richness, their perspectives on life. And I think while academicians can use it in shaping an information of minds as they go in to become responsible citizens and professionals, for young people, when we start early with them, it is giving them a whole new way of looking at life. And I think though small it may be, these are important contributions that we give as active and responsible citizens for our whole world.
Mahatma Gandhi is well known in our Western world. Books and films have relayed to us his legacy of non-violence. Who hasn't heard of his nationwide peaceful campaigns for the alleviation of poverty, for brotherhood among religions and ethnicities, for an end to untouchability and caste discrimination, for the economic self-sufficiency of the nation and for the independence of India from foreign domination? A legacy, that of Gandhi, recently highlighted in June 2007, when the United Nations General Assembly unanimously adopted a resolution declaring October the 2nd, the date of his birth, as International Day of Nonviolence. Just one example of how Gandhi's prophetic vision is still alive in our Western democracies today. But what about the Indians themselves? How do they view the legacy of this man they commonly refer to as the father of their nation? Mahatma Gandhi, whose name means great soul. That's what we asked Vinu Aram.
To the question of how alive the Gandhian idea is today, I think the short answer is it is very much alive. But it is alive in different spaces. I think it is alive within the Gandhian movement, people who have committed themselves to the Gandhian vision of Sarvodaya. It is alive in our polity, in our democratic structures. It is alive in our academic institutions. It is definitely alive in the social sphere, where people still relate to Gandhiji's vision of commitment to the development of the society in tandem with personal development. So I think the vision and dream of Mahatma Gandhi is still alive.
Gandhi died in 1948, well over half a century ago. Yet his vision then was undoubtedly prophetic in many areas of interest, from political to social. Vinu Aram develops this idea for us.
Mahatma Gandhi's greatest gift to the world is one that is prophetic. Even in the early part of the 20th century, he spoke of issues that had a significance in different parts of the world. The issue of social justice, for example, whether it was the caste system in India or colonialism, all of these structures have, all of these issues have in them inherently an element of justice. He also spoke about self-confidence when he spoke, for example, of the Swadeshi movement within India. He spoke about the richness that each culture, each religion, each region of the world had to offer. And he, I think, could see that the world would come closer and closer, but coming to closer also meant being aware of the diversity and celebrating that diversity. I think the other great contribution of Mahatma Gandhi was his life itself, where he was honest about the struggles that he had gone through individually, but with also people with whom he worked, whether it was for political independence or for social justice or for interreligious harmony. And I think this is a great gift to the world, because sometimes we are shy of sharing our struggles. We are much more willing to share our successes. And as we stand in the beginning of the 21st century, I think this gift of being able to share our struggles is very relevant, whether we speak of the challenges that countries face in dealing with internal issues, also with global issues like global warming or, for example, regional wars or, for example, HIV/AIDS. I think the human struggle for a peaceful world and the ability to share this with more and more people is a gift that Gandhiji gave the world.
My thanks there go to Vinu Aram of the Gandhian-inspired Shanti Ashram.
and to Ricardo Catalano of the Focolari Catholic Lay Movement. My thanks too go to my Italian colleague Adriana Mazzotti for making this program possible. Meanwhile, I'd like to share with you the words of one of the popes of the 20th century, Paul VI, when he met in Bombay with representatives of non-Christian religions. It was the 3rd of December 1964. And to those present, Christians and non-Christians alike, the Pope highlighted how we should live our lives as children of God. Are we not all one, he said, in this struggle for a better world?
Are we not all one in this struggle for a better world?
In an effort to make available to all people those goods which are needed to fulfill their human destiny and to live lives worthy of the children of God.
Lives worthy of the children of God.
We must come close together, not only through modern means of communication, the first pilgrim pope stressed, specifying through press and through radio, through steamships and jet planes.
Through press and radio, through steamships and jet planes.
We must come together with our hearts in mutual understanding, esteem and love. We must not meet merely as tourists, but as pilgrims who set out to find God, not in buildings of stone, but in human hearts. We must begin to work together to build the human future of the human race. We must find concrete and practical ways of organization and cooperation so that all resources be pooled and all efforts united towards achieving a true communion among all nations. Such a union cannot be built on a universal terror of fear or mutual destruction. It must be built on the common love that embraces all and has its roots in God, who is love. True love, Paul VI insisted, must be renewed in our midst and must become the inspiring force of all our efforts. We need peace and stability, food, clothing, and housing for millions, honesty and devotion, all efforts animated by true love.
Esteem and love.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.